It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Okay, let's take a look here at South Carolina, the latest polls. The latest poll is Emerson, which was the 26th and 27th.
All right.
So just the last couple of days. So that actually is the latest.
Hmm.
And that has Biden up 41 to 25 over Sanders. Then you've got Steyer and Buttigieg with 11 each, Warren with 5, Klobuchar with 6. You have a poll that was done from the 23rd to the 25th, and that's the one where Biden was up 36 to 16 over Sanders, okay, up by 20. Then you have the Post and Courier that was done from the 23rd to the 27th, all likely voters, by the way, and Biden was up by 4. But on the average, if you look at the average of those last couple of days, Biden is up over double figures over Sanders. Now getting to Super Tuesday. And again, who knows how this changes if Biden wins big and changes momentum. Now, is it going to change the situation in California, for example, where the latest polls ended the 23rd in California, the latest primary poll, and a huge sample, and shows Sanders up by 17? If that's accurate, even if Biden has a great day, Biden's at 12. Because in California, Sanders is 37 and Warren is 20.
Mm-hmm.
Is Biden going to eat from Warren? I doubt it.
No.
You've got the Texas primary and the latest poll showing Sanders a little bit over Biden. North Carolina, you have the latest poll out there which shows Biden over Sanders. That one, though, extremely close, as the poll before that showed a tie. Virginia, you have Sanders leading Biden by 9, and then Bloomberg in third place. In Colorado, the latest poll shows Sanders with a big lead over Warren, 27 to 15, Buttigieg 12, Bloomberg 11, Biden 11. Biden not even in the running at that particular point. Minnesota, Klobuchar's leading, of course, her home state. Over Sanders, 29-23, then Warren, then Biden with 8. Oklahoma, the latest poll. Now, again, the latest poll is a week old. That if it's a week old, it might as well be a year old with how the Sanders campaign, because of Sanders himself, you know, his self-inflicted wounds, just insisting on defending communist dictatorships. And so in the Oklahoma, you've got the latest poll shows Biden with 21, Bloomberg with 20, Sanders with 13. Utah, Sanders with 28, Bloomberg with 19, Buttigieg with 18, Warren with 15, Biden with 6. Massachusetts, Sanders with 21, Warren with 20, Buttigieg with 15, Biden with 14, Bloomberg with 12. Maine, and these are all this month, but a week to 2 weeks old, Sanders 25, Buttigieg 16, Bloomberg 14, Biden 12. Vermont, Sanders 51, everybody else doesn't matter. Arkansas, Bloomberg in the lead in a poll that's about 3 weeks old, 20, Biden 19, Sanders 16, Buttigieg 16, Warren 9. So there's where you're going. A lot of these could change depending on what kind of momentum you see Biden get. Some of these won't change no matter what the momentum is that Biden gets. So there's where you are right now.
Mm.
So there you go. All right, let's get to some of your calls and comments. 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Tom in San Antonio. Tom, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, guys. Boy, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I just thought I'd give you I didn't know how the brokered conventions work, so I did a little research. I found something interesting, that in 1924, the Democrats had a brokered convention.
Oh, yeah.
They voted 102 times and still could not get a candidate. they compromised on the 103rd and brought in a dark horse candidate and finally got a candidate for the party.
Yeah, they brought in
Hillary.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish.
Hillary still might have a chance.
Well, you know, it is a possibility when you look back at the 1924 race, because it is really, when you think about it, it couldn't happen today. Number one, you needed on the initial vote 2/3. So nobody could get 2/3. You didn't need just half now. But you had William McAdoo, who was basically, from what I believe, he was supported by the Ku Klux Klan, William McAdoo, and he was a cabinet member of Wilson, but he was a pro Ku Klux Klan and pro prohibition. Mm-hmm. And then you had Governor Al Smith, well known in the history books, former governor of New York, who represented the anti-Klan faction, and he backed prohibition. Well, they went. It took after 102, as a caller just states, after 102, they could not pick one. 16 days, Eric, this went on for.
Yeah.
16 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Klan demonstrations, you had protests, you name it going on. I mean, this was a complete zoo, and 96 years ago. And finally, they picked the dark horse candidate, John Davis, and it was such a mess that Davis only got 28% of the vote in the general election come November.
Well, you look at that. The dynamics are different, as you mentioned. The ratios have changed. The rules have changed.
Yes.
They changed the rules, in fact, after 2016 on the superdelegates, that whole pre-pledging thing, although we're hearing that the superdelegates right now don't want Bernie, by and large. They really don't want Bernie to be the nominee. So that spells trouble going in. Another thing that spells trouble is the fact that right now it doesn't look like, because of the way that these are proportioned in every state, those delegates, if Joe doesn't have to win a state to get some of the delegates. In fact, none of them do. They only have to perform at 15% or more. That's the threshold. That's the minimum. If you get 15% or more, then all of those who get them, then they get it proportionate to how the vote went. Well, that right there shows you that, especially if they've all got money and nobody drops out, between now and the end of March, you're not going to see a presumptive nominee. Something drastic would have to happen. The forecast on it right now is pretty clear. Nate Silver's forecast, updated a few hours ago, shows a 51% chance of a brokered convention. And now Bernie is at 32. Look at that spread. 51 to 32. That's nearly 20 full points. That's incredible. And it's because of, you start doing the delegate count, it's because it looks like more and more that none of them will get to that magic number of 1991. They have to have 1,991. That's over 50% of the delegates going in. And if that were to happen, then according to the new rules, the superdelegates, because there would be a presumptive nominee, the superdelegates could vote in the first round. But if it's a brokered convention, superdelegates sit it out until the second round. Well, what happens in the second round? They're going to do what they call the horse trading, the wheeling and dealing. Where's the deal?
Right.
Well, the deal is this. The party does not want Bernie.
Now, in the first round, you can have, here's the thing, for example, in 1924, you had 19 candidates that got votes in that first round. That's not going to happen here.
No.
In all likelihood.
No.
Or at least not significant votes. Maybe you will have 7 or 8 that get, you know, that some delegates decide to vote for. But odds are that won't even happen. But in the first one, you can have people that have dropped out pledge their delegates to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get closer in that first round. But in the second round, that's where the horse trading happens, because then delegates can basically be released to do whatever they wish to do.
Right.
And so does the party have more power in that? Yes. Now, would it be a dark horse candidate like 1924, where somebody comes out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
And a complete dark horse candidate? That's always a possibility. I just view that as such a split in the Democrat Party. But then again, when the New York Times, look, it's a New York Times. It's not a conservative newspaper trying to, sow chaos into the Democrat Party. It's a New York Times that's coming out and saying that it's the Democrat leadership doesn't care. They just don't want Sanders no matter what.
Right.
They don't want him. And they interviewed, I think, the majority of superdelegates. And out of, what is it, the 90-something, only nine are for Sanders.
Right, right.
And they don't want Sanders there.
Yeah. They make up a total of 16% of the superdelegates, too.
Which could make a difference.
It can, especially if, you know, someone is dropping out. Warren drops out, and those delegates, that support likely goes to Bernie. But you've got to have that first. I would say, because you had MSNBC saying Bloomberg should drop out Monday after South Carolina. Well, first of all, he's not on the ballot in South Carolina, and Tuesday is his first real day in the game.
Well, actually, Joe Scarborough said he should drop out Saturday night.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, technically he did right after the polls closed. You have to actually be in it to drop out.
Well, that's the whole point.
He's not in it officially until Tuesday.
MSNBC, they are so against Sanders getting it that they're actually telling Bloomberg, mm-hmm, after he spent $500 million to get out before he even attempts to get one vote.
I mean, this is the insanity that is the party, because they go in with a plurality. I know they, you know, the idea of Bernie being the guy, it more and more is looking really horrible for the party. They don't want him. The super delegates don't want him. Most of the super delegates don't want him. But the fact is this: great, usher in Bloomberg, usher in Biden. Now, here's the question: who do they believe is more viable? Let's set Bernie aside. We're at a brokered convention. The party itself, who's more viable? You had Biden. Pick from the entire list of things that he has said over just this week, just in South Carolina. I'm running for U.S. Senate. I worked on the Paris Climate Accord with Deng Xiaoping, who died 19 years before the Paris Accord, and China's not even a part of the Paris Accord. It's all of these things.
I understand that, but I still think that the Democrats look at it and say he is a known stable quantity as a Democrat over the last 3 to 4 decades in American government. He's a known quantity. We can get moderate Democrats, which we call liberal Democrats, but we can get what we view as the moderate Democrat to vote for him, or they may sit home for Sanders. I think that's what they're thinking.
I know, but this is Sanders being out of the question. Just imagine all the horse trading is between Bloomberg and Biden. That's my question. Of the two do they see more as more viable?
I don't know.
If you're asking me, it's Bloomberg.
Well, yeah, from our mindset, yes.
Well, no, because the aesthetics for Joe Biden is just,
yes,
it's just dying off daily.
But does it matter to a party that where a significant portion see no problem with Bernie Sanders?
Well,
that's my thing. I don't know if it's possible. I'm going to debate you here. I don't know if it's possible for you to put yourself in the mindset of a Democrat.
Oh, well, yeah. There's no debate there. No, but the point, again, it goes back to the party. Who could they get behind? Who would they want to support? Of those two, not Bernie, but Biden.
I know. I understand.
And Bloomberg.
I understand the point you're making.
Because looking at it, it's got to be ignore. Because what are you going to do? What are you going to have at the end? If it's Bloomberg, you've got a billionaire versus a billionaire. Now, Mike is more billionary than Trump. They both have non-disclosure agreements or had non-disclosure agreements. They both Trump was not a part of Stop and Frisk. So there's one in his column. But, I mean, that's the way the Democrats would play it.
Yeah.
We'll quit talking about the NDAs. This is our guy. He's a very successful businessman, and he's not left. But the problem with that is on November 3rd, Bernie's people stay home. They are not in a million years going to vote for Mike Bloomberg.
I think about how exciting times it is to cover politics right now, where we say, wow, it's the best time in history. But could you imagine being able to cover the 1924 Democrat convention that goes on for 16 days because they can't pick a candidate? 102 votes. They still have not picked a nominee, and a dark horse candidate comes on the 103rd vote. I mean, that you would have been sitting there covering that saying, nothing like this will ever happen before. It will never happen again. And somebody's telling them, wait another 92 years here. There's this guy Trump going to come out, and you're going to see politics completely upended again.
Yep. And here we are.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Since oil is like the blood of your engine, the benefits of oil analysis go beyond preventative maintenance. If you're considering buying a new car, vehicle, motorcycle, or even diesel machinery, an oil analysis can help identify any issues lurking under that washed and waxed hood. You might want to reconsider your purchase if a lab report shows high levels of metal in the oil. For fleet managers, oil analysis can help minimize downtime, as well as safely extend drain intervals, meaning less money spent on oil, filters, and labor. Like a blood test, oil analysis shouldn't be a one-and-done item on your maintenance checklist. Although a single sample is useful in providing a snapshot evaluation, especially where a component problem is suspected, used oil analysis is best used when results can be compared to many samples taken over a period of time. Cenex recommends that diesel engines be analyzed monthly or every 250 hours, and gasoline engines every 3,000 miles. For more information, visit cenex.com.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get to all your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour, but some breaking news from Fox. Investigators in Ukraine have launched a probe into former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden over allegations that he pressured Ukrainian officials to fire the country's top prosecutor in 2016. The Ukrainian probe was launched in response to a court order after the ousted prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, made an appeal for action in the matter, said Shokin's attorney. Shokin's attorney told the Washington Post, they need to investigate this. They have no other alternative. They are required to do this by the decision of the court. If they don't, they violate a whole string of procedural norms. Ukrainian's State Bureau of Investigations has confirmed a probe was underway, the Washington Post reported. Shokin has long objected to his removal, claiming Biden, who's now running for president, pushed for his firing because the prosecutor tried to investigate Burisma's holdings, the Ukrainian gas company where Biden's son Hunter Biden was a highly paid board member, reportedly receiving up to $83,000 per month. Both Bidens have repeatedly denied any wrongdoing in connection with Ukraine. Hunter Biden pledged last year to avoid business deals with foreign entities if his father becomes president. Wow. And then the story goes into talking about Joe Biden at the Council for Foreign Relations in 2018, bragging about his influence to get Shokin fired. But that breaking news overnight that in Ukraine, they are now doing an investigation into Joe Biden over the allegations that he pressured Ukrainian officials to fire the country's top prosecutor in 2016. We'll have more if we get it.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I just want to play part of this audio, Eric, from Fox News yesterday, and Molly Hemingway talking about the coronavirus.
All right.
Okay, here's the lead-up question to it.
What are your thoughts on this, the sort of politicalization of this issue? And do you think that Congressman Garamendi has a good point about needing these tests? We do need to know whether or not people have this virus, and if we don't have enough tests for that, that is something that should be addressed.
Yes, it's absolutely a good point, and the CDC says that they're coming, but really timing is key here, and we need them as soon as possible.
Yeah.
This is such a serious issue. This really is a deadly virus that is spreading rapidly, and you would hope that this would be a time when all the different groups in Washington, D.C., and elsewhere would come together to think about how to tackle this. Instead, this whole thing seems to have mutated into a political football. It's way too serious to be just treating politically. This is something that everyone needs to make sure they come together and quickly. And people need to think through how to properly talk about this issue. This is something that everyone needs to prepare for. It's also important not to move people to panic. When we saw a couple weeks ago when the Trump administration was limiting travel and coming up with various procedures for limiting the spread of coronavirus in this country, you had a lot of people in the media saying he was overreacting, that he was being racist by caring about, you know, telling people to wash their hands, and that, you know, the panel that he put together to deal with it didn't have enough diversity. That wasn't a level of seriousness that we need from our media and from other critics.
There you go. And, you know, she made the point that he's got to be prepared to make a lot of serious decisions in this, and it can't be a political football. And we addressed this yesterday and the day before. This is going to be a political football. It may not be the right thing, but as we have stated before, understand that the Democrats were willing to remove a president from office and to overturn a legit presidential election because they charged that the president wish to protect his constitutional rights.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the separation of powers and have the courts decide, you know, what should be done when the legislature wishes for him to turn over documents, he simply said, you know, we'll go to the courts. Let the courts decide. They believe the president should be removed from office for that, and an election should be overturned. There is nothing that the Democrats care about except defeating this president. They do not care if they overturn a duly elected president, if they overturn an election. So don't for one second believe that they care one iota about the coronavirus. Everything is strictly political to them. There is nothing about the substance of moving the country forward. They do not care about protecting the country from the coronavirus. They only care about making political points. And I back it up with their history of what they're willing to do by overturning a presidential election because the president wishes to protect his constitutional rights. Said it yesterday, said it the day before, talked to a few Democrats yesterday. Nobody debated it with us.
Well, you look at the, you know, scorched earth environment that we're in right now and tell me where the Democrats draw the line.
They don't. They're not going to draw the line here.
No way, they don't. It doesn't happen that way anymore. There is going, and this is going to be a battle of propaganda. Think about this. I mean, this really is. And we're not even talking about China and the battle to get the truth out of China.
Nope.
We're talking about the political propaganda back and forth on this stateside.
The only advice I would give to the president is you have to rise above it. In this case, you have to rise above it and ignore them.
Yes.
And it can't be the normal because they're not going to stop. And they wish to egg you on.
Mm-hmm.
They wish to get a reaction and then say, look, the president's making it political because you will be the one and your statements and your press conference. And I thought he did a good press conference, by the way, the other day.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. But they're trying. They believe they can get a reaction from you that then they can promote and say, look, see, everybody's seen the president. Nobody's seen what they've said. Mm-hmm. But everybody pays attention to the president. And so it's up to the administration and the president to just rise above all of it in this particular case with the coronavirus. You're not going to stop the Democrats from playing the politics with it. Let the country decide. If you don't play politics and they do, let the country decide who's playing politics.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. This is, and this very well could come back to the Democrats. You know, they can always try and tell the American people that they were in panic mode out of an overabundance of caution or whatever. But I think a lot of this hype right now is, first of all, and pardon the pun here, but it is sickening. Because the fact of the matter is there are a lot of questions surrounding this virus, how to contain it, if it's mutating, if it survives on hard surfaces, and for how long, incubation period, could be as high as 27 days.
Remember, this isn't just about Trump. Remember Hillary a few days after 9/11.
Right.
Yep. When the conspiracy theorists were out there saying, oh, this was all a Bush plan.
Mm-hmm.
And remember her saying it? When did he know and what? When did he?
What did he know? When did he know it?
When did he know it? Mm-hmm. Implying that Bush had something to do with 9/11. They don't care whether 3,000 Americans got killed.
No.
They don't care about the coronavirus and if it infects and kills Americans. All they care. And if you want to use it for go back to that time with Hillary, all they care about is what? Trying to get the political edge.
Right.
And as we've stated before, the proof here is that second article of impeachment, which was so blatant and so obvious, and every single Democrat senator signed on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they will play politics and even attempt to overturn a presidential election based on bogus articles of impeachment. Nothing is beyond what they will do to get power, even if it backfires against them. There is no morality that comes from the Democrats right now.
No.
None.
No,
zero.
Nope.
All right. Tulsi and a couple others in the impeachment vote.
All right.
99%, I'll make that case, 99% voted to overturn an election because the president, and this is going to Article 2, and each article is separate, they would have removed a president from office for simply saying, I'm going to the courts to protect my constitutional rights under our three branches of government and the separation of powers. Everybody knows that what the president did was legit, and they wish to overturn a presidential election. And they wish to do it as we saw with Russia collusion. They didn't care about the lies. So all of a sudden, and with all due respect to Molly Hemingway, please don't insult my intelligence and believe that there's even a possibility that the Democrats won't play politics with this, or that by pleading you'll get the Democrats not to play politics.
Well, I mean, it's, you go back to Russian collusion, something built out of nothing. You had high-ranking officials in the Department of Justice with using bogus information in order to spy on the opposition.
Right.
And then continue spying on the president after he became president.
And I'm not coming down on Molly because she, believe me, she understands what's going on. It's just, it's like, you know, don't even go to that point that we need to rise above politics, because they won't. They're not going to.
No. No, they're not.
So let's not wish that they do or say that that's what's needed, because they're not going to do it. It's that simple. And their recent history and the reason we bring up the specifics of it makes our point that they have no interest in being honest with the American public.
None.
In any way, including the coronavirus. They haven't shown it.
No.
And we know what their history is to overturn a presidential election. If you're willing to destroy an election, a legit election in the United States, and a duly elected president, based on the fact that you dislike him, you think they actually care about the coronavirus infecting Americans? Do you really think they care about that?
Nope. No, it's not where the party is, but it's not where the culture is on the left.
Right, and that's why you heard the lies, as the AP had to bring out, from both Biden and Bloomberg, it was, about the fact that the funding isn't there and the president's taking away funding. They go, that's false.
Right.
It's not the case. The funding is there.
They're not used to being fact-checked, are they?
No. And it's unconscionable. And so when I saw the attacks on the president from the very, very beginning, that his policies were racist, not enough diversity on the panel, they were attacking him from the... They never took it serious. They're not taking it serious now.
No.
They're looking at just, this is just another political opportunity for us.
Yep. Well, we asked what would be next. Here we are.
Here we are. Yep. All right. If you want to get in, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. By the way, did you see yesterday, too, talking about the politics of everything? You see the president's still the highest ratings he's ever had, 52-47 from Rasmussen, likely
right.
voters.
Yeah.
So that's actually holding for a couple of days now. So we'll see where that goes. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Craig in Michigan about a brokered convention and more. Craig, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, guys. I've been listening to you a little bit every night before I go to bed, but I'm up late tonight.
Well, thank you.
The broken convention, you were talking about a dark horse. A lot of, I was thinking along the same lines, except I'm thinking like the dark horse is going to be a nightmare. I think Hillary is waiting for a draft, and I can just sort of see that happening. I mean, all the energy they're looking for is really trapped in the tears and the frustration of her losing last time. And I think if it got locked up and they drafted her, they would really be energized. You talked about going to a different planet. I think I'd look for an alternate universe if she won it.
I feel like I'm living in one already, Craig, but thank you. I will say this.
Look, I want to make this clear. I'm very quickly, we're not in 1924 again.
To have a
dark horse candidate come out of nowhere that hasn't been in the process of being in the electoral process during the primaries, I would be very surprised if that happened, because you would have. We're a different time. We're a different age. Communications is different. The Democrat Party right now, remember, the Democrat Party is a party against the Electoral College. Yeah, and so if all of a sudden you pick a candidate who hasn't been part of this process to begin with, there is going to be hell to pay.
I would say, too, that, I mean, it also, that theory requires you to believe that Hillary is the same Hillary, or it's the same dynamic between Hillary and Trump that it was in 2016. The fact of the matter is it is not. She has not been vetted the way he has been. And keep in mind, while she's been around forever, he's been vetted on the job as president.
Yes, he has.
Over and over and over and over and over again. And that's what I mean by that. And he's still performing his job and doing well, aside from the coronavirus and the scare right now on Wall Street. That will not be permanent. And that's not part of what's going on with the economy. That's part of a great deal of uncertainty. And so if everything holds with the economy, then this president is going to be proven that he can deal with everything that's been thrown at him and still drive this car with no problem. She's not the same person either. Keep in mind, everybody gets it wrong. Well, she won the majority of the votes. No, she didn't. She won a plurality. Neither one of them reached 50. Mm-hmm. So let's be very clear about how this works and who she is today. And we get this theory. I guess we're getting it probably once or twice a day now. You know, they'll just usher her in. I don't think, you know, we talked about Biden, and I think between Biden not being able to perform on the campaign trail and saying things that just don't make sense, you have to also consider what's going on, what might be pending and down the road for Hunter Biden, which is problematic. So then you look at Bloomberg. So it becomes the anti-billionaire versus the billionaire in a brokered convention. Well, there is, if Bloomberg comes away with the nomination, the far left, the AOCs of the world are not going to show up after that happens. If he got there organically, there might be a few of them that show up. But Bernie's people are not going to show up for Mike Bloomberg on November 3rd if he comes away from the convention when Bernie went into the convention with a plurality of the delegates. It's not going to happen. Right.
The anti-billionaire, you're out, put the billionaire in.
Exactly.
And then the motto could be, vote for the better billionaire.
Yes, exactly. He's more billionary.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Welcome in the news this morning.
And while the risk to the American public remains low, as the president said yesterday, we're ready. We're ready for anything.
Vice President Mike Pence talking about the coronavirus yesterday, looking here at the stock market, a lot of people are paying attention to that because over 1,000 points down yesterday. Worst point drop ever for the New York Stock Exchange yesterday. And this morning, not looking much better as Dow futures already down around 500 points here in the futures trading.
Just in the last couple of minutes, it's dropped fairly significantly, about 60 or 70 points. And it has been down all morning. You and I have been watching it since last night. Last night, early this morning, just after midnight central, we started watching it, and it was down around 500, and then it's fluctuated. That's the uncertainty. So if we're down going in somewhere around 500, who knows what the day will end up like? Down 1190 yesterday to close. And that's on the, in the wake of the president having that press conference late on Wednesday evening. That, I don't know if that played into it, the uncertainty, or because you're looking at not just a guessing game or a lot of questions surrounding the virus and how it spreads, but also the fundamental elements that are involved, including the airlines and the fact that a company like Boeing can't take much more of a hit, given what they have been through over the last couple of years.
I think that as the news stories continue throughout the day, because, of course, we've talked about the flu and how many hundreds of thousands of people a year die because of the flu.
Yeah.
But the fact is we are used to it. We're not used to this coronavirus. The fatality rate is, from what we know, greater than the average flu. That's the major concern out there that exists. The fact is, there is no vaccine yet for it that's widely available. People still question whether we have enough testing kits in order to be able to monitor it. But I think every story that comes out, for example, you found out, yesterday, remember that the Pope was talking about the coronavirus and the next day had flu-like symptoms. And somebody who works in the Vatican has come down with the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stories like that just spread. And again, the great unknown is there. The story about the Korean airliner, did people, on that airliner or the crew actually, have the coronavirus, and those stories start going around. And it just keeps multiplying, and it's going to continue for a while as new stories come out.
Right.
Now, this is something that if you look at the flu, well, if you were covering the flu the same way, mm-hmm. the world would be in a complete panic with how many people have
numbers wise,
and that's with the fact, even with the vaccine that exists today and everything else, it would be pure panic. So I think it's all the stories that come out. It's the politics of it. It's, you know, every time, you know, when you've got whether it's Schumer or Pelosi coming out or any Democrat saying this administration is completely unprepared, we don't have the funding, even if that funding argument is a lie, as Associated Press came out, all those little things add up to the panic that maybe not the panic in the general public as of yet, but the panic in the stock market because of the great unknown. And as we've said before, there is nothing greater, that hurts the stock market than not knowing where the bottom is.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now. I guess one thing you could say that comes out of this is you realize that impeachment was a nothing burger.
Well, I'll tell you, you get somebody who sneezes on a plane and the Dow falls, $1,100,
$1,200.
Well, the impeachment was happening, and you made that point during the impeachment process in the House. You looked at the stock market, and it was doing great. Everything was fine. I mean, there were one or two down days based on some reports of some of the earnings and stuff like that, but it was short-lived and recovered very quickly.
Yeah, and when you looked at that, we said the reason is anybody can look at this and say, okay, it's bogus, it's not going anywhere, mm-hmm. because it is bogus to begin with, and so you're not going to get any Republican support. So they're going through the motion, but for the market, it actually means nothing, and it will be forgotten very soon, as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even an issue anymore. No. We bring it up when it comes to the credibility of the Democrats claiming that they're not playing politics, and yes, we have used it as an example of the history of if they'll do that, what won't they do when it comes to playing politics with the coronavirus. But we're just observing. They're the ones that, have been involved in that type of behavior that concerns us a lot. In other news, South Carolina primary tomorrow, mm-hmm. Biden with the big lead. If you look at the last two out of three polls, double digit, huge numbers right there. And on the eve of the South Carolina primary, the Washington Post and others, Fox News, investigators in Ukraine have launched a probe into former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden over allegations that he pressured Ukrainian officials to fire the country's top prosecutor in 2016. The Ukrainian probe was launched in response to a court order after the ousted prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, made an appeal for action in the matter, Shokin's attorney told The Washington Post. Quote, they need to investigate this. They have no other alternative. He told The Post they are required to do this by the decision of the court. If they don't, then they violate a whole string of procedural norms. Ukrainian State Bureau of Investigations confirmed a probe into the former U.S. vice president and now presidential candidate Joe Biden is underway, the Washington Post reported. Shokin has long objected to his removal, claiming Biden, who is now running for president, pushed for his firing because the prosecutor tried to investigate Burisma Holdings, the Ukrainian gas company where Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was a highly paid board member, reportedly receiving $83,000 per month. Now, the interesting thing is here, Shokin wants an investigation into this, which means Shokin's opening up his entire world, too.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the claim that Shokin was the reason, and he was corrupt. Now, if he is and was totally corrupt, this would be less on Biden.
Yeah.
Because if you prove that, yes, Biden did this, well, yeah, but I did this because Shokin was corrupt, well, that evidence is going to come out. If you're making the allegation, then you're going to be vetted in the investigation yourself.
Right.
In all likelihood. Now, it is Ukraine, so
well,
you have to consider that. But this coming right, when I saw this, I'm like, wait a minute, did they mistake Joe Biden for Trump? This is on the eve of something, and this is coming out. Is this you're sure this isn't Trump? This is Joe Biden. So that's the latest that we have there. I think the one of the most important news items, and it's just because we've been following it, and it changes every day, but this was a monumental change in Nate Silver's 538 forecast.
Wow.
That everybody who's listening to the show, you've been following it for us. And it's a, look, A lot of other people play fantasy football. We play fantasy brokered convention here on the show.
Yeah.
And the latest from Nate Silver even had me going, whoa.
Yeah, you see it just a few hours ago. It's funny because they updated it twice within about an hour and a half. But the latest update, which happened close to 1:30 Eastern, puts a brokered convention chance at 51% and a chance that Bernie would get the majority of the delegates available. He would get 1,991 or above at only a 32% chance. That's a massive, massive swing of 19 points there. And I don't know. I honestly, because if you and I were going over delegate counts and who might get what, if you look at the polls, that's how they get to this forecast at 538. Look at the polls in Super Tuesday states. Bernie's going to win California. But there is, again, if you get 15% or more of the vote, then you get a proportion, that equal proportion of delegates, which means Biden's not going to come away with zero. Even if he loses Texas and California, he'll still get a chunk of those. And if you look at who else is performing at 15% or above, it, again, according to the recent polls in any of those Super Tuesday states, they also get a few delegates, which means Bernie gets fewer delegates. I mean, right now, what are they looking at? They're looking at the about an 80% chance that he'll only have going into convention, that Bernie will only have 1,640 delegates. Well, you need 1,991 to get over that 50% mark. So he'll only have 1,640. He may walk in with a plurality, but he's still going to be shy 351 points at that, again, that 1,640, 351 delegates. That there's Bloomberg is forecast to have 624 going into the convention. Warren only 227, Mayor Pete 187, Klobuchar only 65. But Biden, right now, an 80% chance that he will have 1,225. Keep in mind, March, as March begins, it starts with Super Tuesday, of course, but the month of March is huge. I think more than half of the all overall delegates, that 3979 number, will be available during that month. That's how many state elections that you will have in that primary by the end of March. It'll be interesting to look at that forecast, but if you're looking at the polls, and the polls will change. You know, right now, Bernie's losing. He's losing some numbers because he keeps defending his stance on Cuba.
Yeah.
He keeps saying things. By the way, he's saying things that he's always said. He is the guy he's always been. But when you had Hinojosa, the spokesperson for the DNC the other night, basically saying, no, we don't agree with Bernie on that. We would invite anybody, including Bernie, that believes that, to go down and talk to immigrants from Cuba that live in Florida and let them give you firsthand what it was like under the Castro regime and ask them why they came to America. I mean, this is the madness that's going on.
And I guess you have to look at it and say what Sanders going to say today and tomorrow, you know, when that question, you know, comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I there is nothing else that has changed the momentum besides Bernie Sanders in Cuba.
Right.
There's nothing else major that's been out there. And the criticism has come from Democrats across the political spectrum. I mean, if you look at a moderate liberal Democrat all the way to as liberal as you can get Democrats, almost universally, they are criticizing him in a very, very passionate way, saying you can't do this, that even the ones that are extremely liberal. Look, democratic socialism is one thing. A dictatorial communist regime is completely different. You can't do that. And yet he continues to do that. And that has, since he has, for some reason, and we, you and I believe it's just his Marxist instincts. That's what Marxists do. They promote the philosophy of what they believe. It's eventually going to come out. It's who he is. And so when you see that, the big question for me is, if Biden continues with it this weekend, Sanders, with it this weekend, that narrative, and he doesn't stop, and he continues to, after South Carolina, he's going to be asked a question. Do you think your Cuba comments hurt? Is he going to just quadruple down, or I don't know how many druples were past quad, but how far is he going to go with it? And if Biden wins big, does that carry over to Super Tuesday? If Sanders keeps on this narrative that we've got to talk the positives about a communist dictatorship.
Well, I'll tell you that that spread in Texas, I think it's probably beneficial that South Carolina is so close to Super Tuesday. You only have a few days in between. Of course, we do have to account for early voting in Texas, which has been pretty robust. But the fact that there's not a lot of time for Biden to commit gaffes, if he wins big in South Carolina, could help him Tuesday in Texas. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get California, but he could get Texas. And the win is the win, and we know it's proportional. But the thing is it gives him momentum, and you'll probably have more money pouring into his campaign if he takes both South Carolina on Saturday and Texas on Tuesday, and we'll look at the other states as well. But those are the two big states Tuesday, California and Texas.
866-90-RED-EYE.
One of the key aspects for the wheat market this year is that we have these reduced supplies.
6% below last year at a five-year low. This from Agriculture Department analyst Sharon Arashup telling USDA's Outlook Forum the other day that we already know we've got the lowest U.S. winter wheat plantings in 101 years. Spring wheat planting may be delayed or down also because of persistent wet soils and corn that hasn't been harvested out of the way in the northern plains. In fact, total wheat acreage this season could be a new record low, 45 million acres, part of a long-term wheat trend.
There's been higher returns for other crops like corn and soybeans, so some of that acreage has moved away.
And so stocks during this next marketing year could fall by 17% from this past year. Rashab says with supplies down, demand fairly strong.
We forecast upward pressure in prices. That's where we have 35 cent increase in the season average price,
taking the expected all wheat price up to $4.90 a bushel. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. The interesting thing yesterday was the Associated Press fact-checking on Bloomberg and who else? Biden?
Yeah, yes. Right.
Biden on saying that the president has cut funding that would be used for the coronavirus. And they said, nope, sorry, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's the case.
Not true. And so that was interesting that they actually did say that. But as we said earlier, don't expect the politics to be played by Democrats. The president, I think they're trying to egg him on to respond in some way so they can say, look, all the country saw it. The president's playing politics with it. He's blaming us.
Yep.
Even if they start, it's almost like you see it in hockey, where somebody gets hit and they retaliate, and it's the person that retaliates that gets the penalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or the grade school kids, the one hits the other one first, and then they both get in trouble. The problem that the left has is things like this keep coming back on them. We will be by November 3rd. I'm confident we will be past the coronavirus. If if we're not by then the election will be the least of our concerns. Yeah. But I'm confident we will be. So this will probably come back on those Democrats. Here's your forecast.
The area of active weather today that'll see snowfall overnight but rain by about midday would be eastern Tennessee near Knoxville along I-81, southwestern Virginia, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City. Snow flurries overnight, rain by noon. Eastern Kentucky, mainly I-64, but south of Indianapolis certainly, and near Louisville, just a trace of snow overnight, then rain by noon. Most all of West Virginia affected by the overnight snow. Not a lot of accumulation, but low temperatures in the 20s. And by mid-morning, early afternoon, we'll see a changeover from snow to rain. So there could be the small window potential for icing during that period. In the west, rain for Washington, Oregon, and Northern California's coast. Snow in the mountains for the Sierras and Cascades. And that snow will spill over into northern Idaho. A look at your national forecast this morning from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
If you don't know what the topic is, it's all on you.
Yep.
Red Eye Radio.
It's your problem. And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Well, there's a headline right there. Democratic leaders willing to risk party damage to stop Bernie Sanders.
Okay. They're going to lose in the fall. I mean, let's just put it out there that everybody believes right now they're not going to win. Not the presidency, anyway. But is the attempt here to save the down ballot?
I don't know if they've gone that far to the point that they can't win, but they absolutely believe they can't win with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and you can't win without Bernie Sanders' followers if you burn him.
I would agree with you on that. I don't know if they've gone that far.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Just Bernie is absolutely unacceptable.
Right. They don't want him as the face. Well, they don't know how to promote him.
Well,
like we said,
hypothetically, Biden Warren.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say Bloomberg Warren, but you really can't do that. Could you sell a billionaire?
No.
And then Warren. No. Or would that destroy Warren's credibility completely?
I'm sorry, did she have credibility?
All right, let me rephrase that again. See, the problem is here. The problem that we have here is...
It's a failure to communicate.
It's a failure to communicate.
Because we can't communicate like they do.
I am not making the case that this is my opinion. We need to be absolutely clear. We are trying, and all of us, everybody listening right now, mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is the impossible. We're trying to put ourselves in the minds of Democrats right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem that we have here.
Welcome to Crazy Talk. But here's the thing. Yeah, no, you wouldn't have, you certainly wouldn't have Bloomberg Warren. You could have Biden Warren.
Yeah, I think you could. Yes.
But Biden is a risk and a liability based on his son, Hunter Biden.
Well, especially now after the story comes out from the Ukraine, because you know that the president is going to bring that up big time. Here's the thing.
Hmm.
Until we get to warmer weather, or I don't know what issue is going to take over from the coronavirus.
Right.
Everything else is there. You know, the coronavirus we talk about, there's not much to go with, though. Everywhere in the media I see people talking about it, it's speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going anywhere. There's just a great unknown. And because there's a great unknown, everybody's talking about the great unknown and then the politics involved in it. But with the great unknown, until there is a, mass infection in the United States of it,
mm-hmm.
it's still either going to be the it's going to be the great unknown in politics is going to be played no matter what.
Right.
But it's going to be at the top of it. Will everything be sort of tempered down a little bit on politics until we get to April and with the warm weather, you know, we see that it's not as serious, and then it disappears over the summer, and then by that time, over a six-month period, a vaccine will be available, or whatever happens when these things happen, it goes back to where it came from.
Right.
I mean, that was really a great medical term, wasn't it? That was a great medical analysis. It goes back to wherever it came from. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. all these things come out, whether it's SARS or you name the other things that have come out over the years, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, okay, it's not back in the population again. It's not being spread. It evolved to something else. We have the vaccine available for it. We've contained it, whatever.
Right.
And so will things, I guess that's my question, will things be a little bit quieter? How vocal will all the politicians be across the board if it does get more serious here in the United States? And will politics of the campaign take a back seat? I don't know.
I think that the party is probably concerned about the down ballot with a Bernie.
Yes.
The down ballot with a Bloomberg, not so much. Now, even though Bloomberg couldn't, if he's not viable in terms of winning over Trump, if they believe that he's not going to win against Trump, it at least saves the down ballot. The Biden thing might save the down ballot, but again, the liability there is with Hunter Biden and with Joe himself.
Where does you and I played the audio cut earlier from Bloomberg doing the interview with NPR?
Yeah,
not NPR.
PBS.
PBS. Yes, thank you very mm-hmm. much. I get the two confused. Same difference: one mm-hmm. audio, one video.
Right.
But the interview he did where he was talking about how the New York City Police Department infiltrated Muslim groups mm-hmm. and went into mosques and listened right. to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to defend that. And you and I are listening to this going, you understand who your audience is? Democrat primary goers. Are they going to love this? But he is constantly, since he has entered the race officially about 10 days ago,
mm-hmm. At least on the debate stage, yeah.
That's what I mean. On the debate stage, everything's gone downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Right. Because he's constantly on the defensive for what he did in New York City, especially to stop crime and terrorism. But the biggest thing against him is the overall general issue that won't go away, that he can't explain off, is that he's a billionaire.
Right.
And a significant portion, no Bernie Sanders supporter wants a billionaire to represent them as president of the United States.
Right.
I'm sorry, they
right.
don't.
They don't.
So my point is, he keeps, it's almost like he's drowning. When mm-hmm. I saw that interview, I can't believe, but I felt a little bit sorry for him. I went, wow, you just spent $500 million, dude.
Yeah.
You spent $500 million.
Right.
And your campaign's going nowhere. It's almost as if you had no awareness of the party, the party whose primary you were entering.
Right. And well, it is interesting because he and Joe Biden have the most. Biden has a couple more congressional endorsements, and Bloomberg has, I think, the last count was 15. The point being is that Bernie doesn't have anywhere close to that right now. I think he basically has. Two, what? Right? AOC is not a small thing. That's not a little thing. That's a very significant influence, especially with the far left. Well, here's the thing: if the party says to themselves, Bernie's going to kill us on the down ballot, Bloomberg's not going to win. But if we can get the floor and we go into, by the way, Nate Silver just 7-8 minutes ago. 5:38, an update. The chance for a brokered convention now drops from 51 to 50, and Sanders in second place. The chance that he would get a majority of the delegates, that 1,991 or more, is now at 33%. So It's the gap is closed just a little bit, just a couple of points. But if you look at it, they're hedging their bets. They say, okay, look, the top four at least stay in through the end of March. That's probably going to set you up for the brokered convention. The party says, we cannot have Bernie because we don't know how to promote him. We cannot get out there in the, especially in a state like Florida, and believe that we're going to perform against Trump. But not only that, that there's going to be this down ballot effect that affects us greatly. The best we can hope for is keeping the House, and our best hope there is Bloomberg. And in the primary, we didn't have to spend any money on Bloomberg, so we can spend some money. We can promote Mike Bloomberg and turn the other cheek on things like stop and frisk.
But you're taking then 40% of the and I'm saying 40%.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say 30 to 40% of Democrats and alienating them completely. And I'm talking about the Warren, Sanders portion demographic of the Democrat Party. Which again, you may sit there and say, well, the down ballot, okay, he won't hurt that much. Well, if people don't show up to vote in the local races, how does it affect it? And is that, because I was reading about Buttigieg, is that what he's trying to do? Is Buttigieg hoping just to stay in long enough?
Right.
That if I can be still there, that people are still going to think about me the same.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, I'm going to look pretty good because Bloomberg will have been vetted. Sanders will have been vetted. They're not going to want him. Biden, who knows if he's going to blow up because of everything going on. We just mentioned the Ukrainians saying they're going to now investigate the former vice president and presidential candidate right now. I may be the one that's shining at the end, and there's a possibility it could be Warren me.
Yeah.
You know, Warren as the presidential candidate and Buttigieg. So could that be a possibility? Because if it's not going to be Bernie, I don't think they'd be that impressed with Warren, but you could at least say Warren Buttigieg. Would they view a Warren Buttigieg as better than a Joe Biden, or excuse me, a Bernie Sanders, who has been promoting the whole communism thing, which has really turned off the establishment Democrats this week, where they would say, look, with Warren and Buttigieg, we still keep the left, and it's acceptable to the middle. I'm just throwing that out.
Mm.
I guess it's as good as anything else.
Sure. It's their best chance at winning the White House, but do they believe that Warren could beat a Trump? They would have to, I guess.
Here it is right here. Officials in the national and state parties are increasingly anxious about his splintered primaries on Super Tuesday and beyond, where the liberal Mr. Sanders edges out moderate candidates who collectively win more votes. By the way, there are no moderate candidates. That's just a term that they're using. Dozens of interviews with Democratic establishment leaders this week show that they are not just worried about Mr. Sanders' candidacy, but are also willing to risk intra-party damage to stop his nomination at the national convention in July if they get the chance. Since Mr. Sanders' victory in Nevada's caucuses on Saturday, the Times has interviewed 93 party officials, all of them superdelegates, who could have a say on the nomination at the convention, and found overwhelming opposition to handing the Vermont senator the nomination if he arrived with the most delegates but fell short of a majority. Wow. Such a situation may result in a brokered convention, a messy political battle, the likes of which Democrats have not seen since 1952, when the nominee was Adlai Stevenson. And then the Happy Days episode, you and I talk about Adlai Stevenson and running against Ike. I like Ike. My bike likes Ike. But there you go. And I think it was only 9 of the 93 that that supported Sanders.
Yeah.
So you're talking, you know, close to 90% of the superdelegates saying, sorry.
Right.
We would not go with Sanders. That's pretty amazing if you get to that point. And everybody sees the possibility of this happening. And you think about it when they were talking about it this time back in 2016, that Trump might have a brokered convention.
Right, yeah.
I think we're a lot closer now than we ever were then.
I think so. And that's the question. Where do you go? And what happens on Saturday could mean big momentum for Joe Biden going into Texas on Super Tuesday. And we'll see where it goes from there.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number two diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. So now all we can talk about is the XFL Weekend 3, right? Or is it Weekend 4?
Weekend 4. Weekend something.
No, I watched a little bit last week, just about 15 minutes, but it's like, I got no team that I have.
Yeah, I don't care anything about it.
But the
South Carolina will be something to watch because the margin, I'm really curious about the margin if Biden does end up winning, if it's close to what the polls are showing right now. And also whether that helps him with some momentum on Tuesday in Texas. Texas has had some pretty robust early turnout. I'm not sure if that favors Bernie or Biden, but if he gets those two wins, there is your greater chance for the brokered convention.
Yep.
Because outside of Bernie stepping down for some reason, which he's not going to do, you're going to, and I can't wait to see Nate Silver's forecast next Wednesday morning.
All right, let me get my focus off politics here for a moment because we expect like, what, 73 tomorrow?
76 last I checked.
So I'm just focusing on my golf swing right now in the studio right here.
Okay. All right, I don't think there's enough room in here. Have a good week.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.